This chapter, Darshan, on January 14th, Sankranti, Jiva Goswami Pad's Tirubhav Mahotsav. We're celebrating here in this universe today, in the roadshow of Jiva Goswami, Radha Damodar. Radha Damodar knew that we were going to glorify Jiva Goswami, so they gave their agya to our godbrother to deliver us Mahaprasadam. So this is Prasad Agya of Radha Damodar. It came by their order. So there's a book, Samadhi's book, it tells about Sri Jiva Goswami Pad. And we can... He's a nephew of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and he displayed all the charming features of a Mahapurush. He had lotus eyes, a high nose, and high forehead, broad chest, long arms, and a radiant golden body. In his boyhood, he made a deity of Krishna Balaram. You see all the great devotees, the liberated souls, from the very beginning of their appearance in this world, they engage in pure bhakti. They are not sadhana siddhas. It's not that they do this and that, and finally they take up bhakti. And maybe if they're very fortunate and they practice and get the mercy, they become kripa siddha and attain perfection in their sadhana. And then they become premi bhaktas and liberated souls. And you read the biographies of siddha mahatmas. But these great souls like Srila Prabhupada and Sri Jiva Goswami, from very birth they're exhibiting all the signs of Mahapurushas. And a Mahabhakta Purush, a Mahapurusha Bhakta. One is a Bhakta Purushottam, one is a devotee of Bhakta Purushottam Sri Krishna. Right from his birth he's chanting the holy names, worshipping deities, reading the Bhagavatam, speaking in the glories of the Lord, and engaging other people in Krishna's service. That's why they come here. That's why the Lord comes here to preach and teach and bring everyone back to Godhead. And that's why the devotees come here to teach and preach and bring everyone back to God. And that's why Prabhupada came here to preach and teach and bring everyone back home to Godhead. So Prabhupada's childhood, he would stand and everybody else is playing, all his contemporaries are playing in the street and yelling and jumping and Chaurangi Bazaar and Calcutta. Prabhupada was standing in the Mulak's temple. And he was looking at Radha Govinda and said, "Oh, Radha Govinda, you're the Thakurji Rupa Goswami Pad. You're the beloved deity of the entire Gaudiya Sampradaya. You're so beautiful. Please bless me. My mission, I'm a young boy. My mission is vast and great. Someday I'll spread your glories all around the world. I'll take you from Calcutta, which is the capital in British India, and I'll take you to New York City, which is the financial capital and the heart capital of the world and of America. And I'll establish Radha Govinda in New York City. Radha Govinda, I'll take you there. And of course, I'll make my own temple. I'll make you a temple also here in Calcutta. I promise." So Prabhupada said that when he was 5 years old, 4 years old. Then Rath Yatra festivals, engaging his sister in making outfits and cooking, and then had kirtan and authentic carts. They must be authentic. 16 wheels, all scaled down, of course. Jagannath's cart has 16 wheels, Balaram's cart is 14, Subhadra's has 12, because he's little. Choti Bain, Choti Gadi, you know, she has a little Gadi, Chota Gadi, little small roadster, 12 wheels. But Jagannath has a luxury car, 16 wheels. One of those costly cars. You think you have a costly car with your 8.3i BMW, or whatever it is, or you know, some big fat car with a big fat price tag. Well, you can out talk, when you preach to somebody, "Sister, why are you so proud? My Lord, in fact, I sometimes drive the Lord's car." "Acha, yeah. How many? My boss's car has 16 wheels. You've heard of four-wheel drive? How about 16-wheel drive? Because he goes over the sand dunes in Puri with the 16 wheels. So this is Jagannath. He's the Lord of the universe. So he has a big, big gaudi. So in his childhood, Jeev made a deity of Krishna Balaram. Expressing his pure devotion, he would often cry while worshipping them. After offering clothes, chandan, flowers, ornaments, and tasty sweets to Krishna Balaram, He would take some and give Mahaprasadam to his playmates. From the beginning, Jiva showed his kindness to other Jivas. Jiva Dhaya, Nam Ruchi. Right? Jiva Dhaya, Nam Ruchi, then Vaishnav Seva. Jiva was so much attached to Krishna Balaram that at bedtime he would embrace his deities and fall asleep. His parents thought he was only playing, but the villagers rejoiced to see Jiva's love for Krishna Balaram. In school, he quickly mastered Sanskrit grammar, poetry, logic, and philosophy. Srimad Bhagavatam gave life to his life. Krishna Katha filled him with happiness. This is because he's Jiva, because this is all, this I got from different biographies that were in Hindi and Sanskrit and whatnot, translated, and Bengali also to do the for this book. And all the Sanskrit, Bengali, Bhagavad Jivan, Jivan, Jivani, Jivan, Jiva goes, you know, like this. The Jiva. Where Jiva means living principle, life force, living particle of individual consciousness, conscious being, part of the supreme being, God, the absolute truth. But he was saying that Bhagavatam gave life to his life. Krishna Katha filled him with happiness. No one dared to speak to him anything but about Krishna. That would be nice. People would be so afraid. Oh, I'm afraid if I speak to so-and-so, she'll get flaming angry like Kali Bhairava. Her eyes will become red and large, and she'll become black with fury. And she'll manifest 10 arms. Don't speak to me about Maya. Wouldn't it be nice? People would be afraid to come and tell you about their daughter's marriage with the guy next door, and you know, the romance of the century type program. Did you hear about the romance of the century? No, who, what, where? It's all prajapa. One bag of stool falls in love with another bag of stool. And the pig parade and the pig circus. I looked out my window today and saw a mother pig with her 5 little babies frolicking behind her. They look so cute and happy. Oh, just see, they look just like their father. So people say the same thing. Oh, look at the little kids playing. They look so cute and happy. No one dared to speak to him about anything but Krishna. He toured Navadvip with Nityananda Prabhu. That's told in Bhakti Ratnakar by Narayana Chakravarti Thakur and elaborated on by our Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Navadvipa Mahatmyam, I think, is also that's an idea there. He studied Sanskrit in Benares and then resided in Vrindavan. After humbly serving Rupa Goswami by washing his feet, preparing his manuscripts, and editing his books, he received Diksha. So he did humble service. The place where Jiva Goswami would wash Rupa Goswami's feet is a little pool there. It's a sandbox, Rajaraj box. It's a sandbox on the north side, the northwest side of Rupa Goswami's samadhi. Have you seen it? Go like this. You should see. And when you go there and do parikrama at the temple 4 times, and 4 times separately of Rupa Goswami's samadhi, and then you pay dandavats to Radha Damodar and Radha Chalchi Khan. Chalchi Khan and Radha Vrindavan Chandra and Radha Madhav, then you come to Jiva Goswami and offer dandavats and his bhajan kutir, and then you come to Rupa Goswami and offer dandavats to his bhajan kutir after going four times around. Then you offer dandavats to the Leela Stali of Sri Jivan and Rupa Goswami, and there's that sandbox there as the dust of Rupa Goswami's feet. Because when you wash the feet, all the dust comes off. It's all the dust mixed in that was collected over there, because when one's approaching the Bhavatam, he should minimally already have bathed and wearing fresh cloth. But if it's some other time in the day, he should wash his hands and feet, perform Ajman. When he begins his studies or writing of the Bhagavatam, so Jiva Goswami did that service to Rupa Goswami, humble service of Parasevanam, Guru Parasevanam, Sri Guru Parasevanam, Jiva Goswami, Shiksha Guru is Rupa Goswami. So that's a very nice point that's being made. After humbly serving Rupa Goswami by washing his feet, preparing his manuscripts, the manuscripts are these palm leaves. They have to be, when you get the rough palm leaves, they have to be flattened out between some bricks so they get, you know, kind of curled up. To make them flat, then you have to kind of smoke them over a fire, dry them out a little bit, and so they're prepared. So when they take the metal stylus and write the Sanskrit, they kind of etch into the leaf. They have to be dry and flat. And you have to poke some, when they're wet, we have to poke little holes. When they're kind of fresh, poke holes in the side, because later you'll tie a string there on the side. If you've ever seen the palm leaves, they're long, like this. Like they take the leaf of a palm tree and they cut it and they dry it. So he was doing all this humble service, very humble service. There's a beautiful verse that talks about humble service to the Guru. One must only, this verse explains how one must only accept the Guru as fully realized, both Shastras and Krishna. So sometimes people ask a question when they're looking for a Guru. Well, should we actually just sit and wait and pray that a Guru comes to us? Some people say, I think I should find a Guru. What should I do? Should I just sit and wait and pray and then Krishna will arrange? Or should I go out and search for a Guru? Should I actually search? And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said that one who is interested in the perfection of his life should be prepared to search the entire world over to find his Sadguru. Search everywhere, listen everywhere, look, examine. Like Parikshit. Parikshit means the examiner. He went everywhere examining, oh, where is that blue personality that saved me? Where is that my savior, Lord Vishnu? He's looking everywhere. So this word here is evabhigachet. Tadvigyanartam sagurum evabhigachet. Samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Samitpani shrotriyam. This is the phrase that reminds me of Jiva Goswami's humble service. Because in the previous ages, when you lived in the Gurukula, as Krishna lived in Ujjain with his guru Sandipani Muni and Sudama, so then the Gurudev, their service is brahmachari, humble service is brahmachari represents the legs in society. Brahmachari is the legs, and then the brahmachari, grihastha is the stomach. And then vanaprastha, I don't know what that is, but like this, brahmachari, what is it, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, yeah, so brahmachari's leg, so he's always engaged in humble service, padasevanam, with his feet, he's also serving, also padasevanam, serving the Lord and serving the Guru, humble service. So they were going out to collect firewood for the yajna. The Guru was doing Agni Hotra every day, as most ashrams do, daily Agni Hotra. Or Surya, different yagas they'll do in these ashrams in ancient days in Gurukul. It requires so much wood, so the brahmacharis would go out and get that to develop humility and cut their pride in being, hey, what is this? I'm an illustrious Brahmin. I'm a Mishra from Bengal. Why have to collect? Or I'm a whatever. I'm a king's son. I'm a Yadav. Why have to go out? Hey, you do. Hire somebody else to do this. So humble service cuts the pride. And why doesn't he go out and get it himself? I'm just a kid. And why doesn't the Guru go out and get it? He's robust and strong. Why doesn't he hire somebody? He has so much money in his ashram. Why do I have to collect it? So in that same tradition, although they didn't go to get firewood, well, maybe they did, but the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta went out every day to humbly beg alms for the mission, the Sri Gaudiya Math, for maintaining the food they were collecting, and oil and grains and everything. So to acquire transcendental knowledge of Sri Bhagavan, To learn that transcendental subject matter, vigyan artam. Artam means, if you have the objective of vigyan, to realize the science of God, then sagurum eva bigachet. Eva bigachet means that you must approach. Certainly, you must approach. You should go to the guru. This is what the word means. This is from Mundaka Upanishad, 1:2:12. It's also in Jiva Dharma, chapter 6. Tadvigyanartam sagurum eva bigachet samitpani shruktiyam brahmanishtam. First, there's the approach. You have to approach the guru, search, look out for the guru. Guru kotai. Where is the guru? And then you have to submit and do humble service. Samit pani shotriyam. Pani in Sanskrit, pani means hand. Sarvato pani padam tat sarvato kshi sharomukam. Verse in Bhagavad Gita talking about this Paramatma. It says, everywhere my samit pani. Everywhere my hands, smitpani sarvatamukam. So everywhere my hands and faces, everywhere my eyes, shirotmukam. Everywhere my eyes and my faces and my hands, I can accept an offering from anywhere. I can see everything you're doing everywhere. I can hear whatever you're saying anywhere. Smit sarvato pani sarvatak panipadam tat sarvato shishomukam. Sarvatam shrutimaloke sarvam abhritatishtati. So this way I'm everywhere and I can hear everything. So sumit, so this means sumit pani means carrying firewood, and then the brackets is the firewood of sublime faith. So in your hands, sumit, you must be carrying firewood, which means you do humble service, you surrender to the guru and do humble service. But this expanded translation here says that sumit pani means of sublime faith. So in your hands, and rather, of course, you also, you have to, in your hands, holding in your hands, you must have faith in what is sublime. Sublime means grand, majestic, doesn't mean subliminal. The word sublime means grand, majestic, wonderful, wondrous, inconceivable, like God. You must have, carrying in your hands, you must have a basic belief in God. That's called Bhagavan Shraddha. And you must have a belief in Shastra, Shastriya Shraddha. To acquire transcendental knowledge of Sri Bhagavan, Tadvigyan Artam, you certainly, say eva means certainly, abhigachet, you must approach and look, search for a guru, carrying the firewood. Then shrut, and what? That's your side. So what is it? He must be Shruti. Shruti. Shrutiyam means Shrotriyam. Shrotriyam. He must know the expert in understanding of Vedic conclusions. Brahmanishtam. He must be fully realized in the Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna, and is being directly engaged in a service in Nitya Lila. That's quite a good expanded translation here. And Brahmanishtha means he's fixed in Brahman, which means all his activities are connected to God. There's a verse in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It says, Brahmarpanam, Brahmahutam, Brahmagni. It says that the yajna is, the homa is Brahman, that the firewood is Brahman, the ghee which is offered is a Brahman. Isn't it, you know that? It's a very nice verse that goes along with this verse from Mundaka Upanishad about the approach and the approach of the seeker and the qualities of the master, Shishya and Guru, and about this concept of Brahmanishtam, how he must be fixed. This is 4:24 Bhagavad Gita, transcendental knowledge. Brahmarpanam Brahma Havir, Brahmagno Brahmanahutam, Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadina. Brahma Arpanam Brahma Havir Havi. Brahmagno Brahmana Hutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadina. Samadhi. Brahma Karma Samadhi. This is what it means, Brahmanishtam. Tad Vigyanartam Sagurum Eva Vigachet. Eva Vigachet. Samit Pani Shurtiyam Brahmanishtam means Brahma Karma Samadhi Na. That totally fixed and absorbed in the activities pleasing to the Supreme Brahman. This is pure bhakti, and this is the quality of the Guru, which means Nishta, Brahmanishta. Nishta, Brahmanishtam is the equivalent of Madhyam Adhikari. The Madhyam Adhikari, which is the minimal qualification for a guru, he must be Madhyam, he should be Nishta. Nishta and Ruchi Abbas, like this level, and going up. Then it can bring people forward from Shraddha to Nishta and Ruchi, like that. But by the time he's bringing people forward to Nishta, he's hopefully gone on himself, because everyone's progressing by the same means of hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. Progressing or relishing, or relish progressing and relishing, or realized and relishing. Progressing and practicing, or progressing, practicing and relishing, or progressing, practicing and realizing, or relishing and relishing. Realized and relishing. These are like different categories. So it says, the spiritual nature, Brahma, the Arpanam, the contribution, the supreme. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Brahma Karma Samadhina. In other words, by complete absorption in spiritual activities, this is the meaning of one who is completely absorbed in spiritual activities is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom. Because it says, Brahma Tena Gantavyam. Gati means Gantavyam. He reached. Brahma means the spiritual kingdom. Is Ava certainly Tena by him reached? Which person reaches the spiritual kingdom? One who is completely absorbed in Brahman. Because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, his arpanam is Brahman, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered as the saint is of the same spiritual nature. So what it means is that the havir, the havi means butter in Sanskrit, havi. So this, one of the Navayogendras, his name is Havi, Havi Yogendra. And in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Havi, there's a Navayogendra, so one is called Havi, Havi Yogendra. So Havi was always doing the butter, Swaha, Yajna. So the Havi, the butter, then the fire that it's offered into, the fire of consummation. The Brahmana means Brahmana, the devotee. Hutam, Avahuti, ever heard this term? Avahuti, that means the offering. So all the butter, the fire, the Brahman, the offering, the samagri is all Brahman, because it's offered to Vishnu, Yajnavai Vishnu. So that's what it means. Samit Pani Shrutiyam Brahmanishtam. He's completely fixed in Brahman because of this. So the one should offer him the firewood. This is very nice. Said one should offer him firewood. That person is fixed and fully realized. You should humbly approach him and offer him the firewood, as it says here, of sublime faith for the performance of yajna. That is, the yajna of service to Sri Hari, of assisting Sri Guru in the Sankirtan yajna, turning conditioned souls into lovers of God. Now that is a wonderful translation of this verse. We can see the same translation here that Prabhupada was most often would speak and lecture, so many lectures on this particular verse, and we get a nice idea from this also. Prabhupada says, to learn this transcendental subject matter, one must approach a spiritual master. In doing so, one should carry fuel to burn and sacrifice wood. And it says here, Smitpani, carrying firewood in his hand. Shrotriyam, expert in understanding the Vedic conclusion. The symptom of such a spiritual master is that he is expert in understanding the Vedic conclusions, and therefore he constantly engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of God, Brahmanishtam. constantly engaged in the service of God. That's the Prabhupada's translation, which he would preach on. And a little bit poetic elaboration here. But it's nice, because ultimately the purchasing power that a seeker of truth must have in his hand is Shraddha, faith. That's his purchasing power, to gain the knowledge, to gain the diksha and shiksha and knowledge, vigyan, that's within the guru's heart. He must have that. So this was the quality of Jiva Goswami, that he was humbly serving Rupa Goswami by washing his feet, preparing his manuscripts, and editing his books. After doing that, he received diksha. It says, once the aging Vaishnava Vallabhacharya gave critical advice to Sri Rupa Goswami on his writing. Although much younger than the venerable Vallabha, Sri Jiva Goswami brazenly spoke in defense of his guru. Sri Rupa Goswami scolded Sri Jiva, telling him to leave Vrindavan. Living in an abandoned crocodile hole in Nandagat on the banks of the Yamuna. Crocodile. 45 minutes from Sri Rupa's bhajan kutir, Sri Jiva began fasting. He subsisted on wheat flour baked in madukari, mixed with Yamuna water. Seeing his strict self-denial, Sanatana Goswami brought him back to the service of Sri Rupa Goswami. Srila Prabhupada once commented on this, quote, guru-disciple pastime. Sri Prabhupada said, Sri Rupa Goswami cast out Jiva Goswami to teach us, the devotees of today, a lesson. It was not done to teach or punish Sri Jiva Goswami Vilas Manjari, the eternal Sakhi of Radharani and associate of Gauranga. He's a perfectly liberated eternal associate of Lord Krishna. Rupa Goswami sent Jiva Goswami out of Vrindavan to teach all jivas what he wrote in the Upadeshamrita. Bacho Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vedam, Udra Pashta Vegam. At all times, Rupa Goswami wanted to teach Jiva Goswami. At all times, a devotee should control his tongue, his speech, and always remain humble. Srinarapi Sunichena. Prabhupada's quotation. After the disappearance of Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami became the Gaudiya Sampradaya Acharya to guide all Vaishnavas in Navadvip, Vrindavan, and Jagannath Puri. Although he was the undisputed leader, he always acted as a humble servant of all the Jivas. Whenever Bengali Vaishnavas visited Vrindavan, he would lovingly receive them, arrange for prasadam and comfortable rooms, and even guide them on Braj Mandal Prikrama. So he gave them accommodate food and room and board, room and food, and guide them around. A super excellent Sanskrit scholar, Sri Jiva Goswami would compose Sanskrit verses in his mind and write them down without changing anything. No question of cutting and pasting or spell check or deleting the line and starting again. Write them down means he used a metal stylus to permanently etch them in palm leaves. This inscription method left no room for erasing, editing, rewriting, or running a spell check. Yet, each verse was a priceless gem of perfect meter, rhythm, poetry, and meaning. Chandas and Tal and Kavi and meaning, whatever meaning is. He was the greatest philosopher in all of Indian history. Contemporary Sanskritists called Jiva the greatest scholar who ever lived. Sri Jiva Goswami was the youngest but most prolific writer among the Goswamis. He wrote an astounding 500,000 Sanskrit verses, about 25 books. His books prove that Sri Chaitanya's philosophy gives the essence of Vedic wisdom and the perfection of religion. Gopal Champu, Sat Sandarvas, and Harinam Vyakaran are three of his most famous works. The Sandarvas firmly established the transcendental truths of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Sandarvas confirm that Lord Sri Krishna is the absolute truth, Swayam Bhagavan. 1.3.28 Ete Cham Sakala Pumsam Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakula Mule Mridyanti Yuge Yuge. The cause of everything and the source of all avatars. Anyone who faithfully reads the books of Jiva Goswami will become a devotee of Krishna. Sri Jiva Goswami Pada Ki Jai. One Gaudiya Vaishnava Sanskrit scholar gave this explanation of Jiva Goswami's name. Actually, Sri Jiva Goswami's name, Jiva, is very interesting when considered, very interesting, this is an important phrase, when considered in light of the Bhagavad verse, Hastani Sahastanam Apadani Chatuspadam Phaguni Tatramahatam Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. Animals without hands, Ahastani Sahastanam, are food for those with hands. Those without feet are food for the four-legged. Everywhere one jiva, living entity, is food for another. Another meaning of jiva is one who gives life to others. So, the spiritual knowledge given by Jiva Goswami in his 25 books gives life to all the devotees. Another name of jiva is jivaka, one who makes all the jivas emit ecstatic sounds. Jivaka. Sri Jiva Goswami did this by supplying the esoteric meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam through his Bhagavad commentaries and the Satsandarvas. One who expands the nature of the jiva and the jiva's relationship with the Lord, the process to achieve the goal and the ultimate purpose of life is jivaka or jiva. Interesting interview we took from one person. The following quote comes from Sri Jiva Goswami's Nectarian Gopal Champu, which describes the playful Vrindavan pastimes of Radha Damodar. Quote, from Govardhan Hill, a large form of Govardhan manifested, all the Brijvasis along with Krishna himself, then offered obeisances to that towering form. As Sri Krishna stood by with folded hands, that great personality of Govardhan bellowed, I shall eat all your offerings. He ate and drank water by emptying all the kuns around the hill, while eating all the preparations made by the Brijbasis with his right hand. He snapped his fingers with his left hand. The coward men ran out of the way when Govardhan stretched out his hands. And called out, Aniyar, Aniyar, Aniyar! Bring more! Bring more! Bring more! At the request of Acharya Rani. You know who that is? Acharya Rani? Do you know? Acharya Rani? Acharya Rani is Janava Devi Thakurani. Ma Janava Ki Jai. Jaganmata Janava Mata Ki Jai. At the request of Acharya Rani, Janava Devi Thakurani, Sri Jiva Goswami had Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu take the Goswami's writings from Vrindavan to Bengal. So behind every great man, there's a great woman. So generally they say Sri Jiva Goswami, but Janama Mata, who was after Nityananda left this world, she became the guru, initiating guru for so many. She arranged this out of her karuna. They translated them into Bengali and distributed them throughout Bengal and Orissa. They also preached extensively and initiated hundreds of devotees. In 1542, Sri Jiva Goswami established the worship of Sri Sri Radha Damodar and Sevakunj Vrindavan. His samadhi stands in the temple. Sri Jiva Goswami is Vilas Mandri and Radha Damodar is Nitya Vrindavan Leela. Sri Jiva Goswami Pada Ki Jai. This is a very nice brief biography of Sri Jiva Goswami, and as I mentioned before, in classes of this nature, we had so much material. Other biographies of Jiva Goswami had about 30 pages of material, about as extensive about his life. It's one of the most difficult biographies to write because I wanted to. My meditation, my idea of this presentation was to make small biographies that devotees would read when they go to the samadhis. Compiling this biography about Jiva Goswami, there's extensive information about his charitra. 30, 40 pages, we had to narrow it down to just a few pages. Because our idea when compiling this book was to bring out the essential contribution of each devotee, what they represent that will benefit us. And this was the idea of this. In the back we have this, what's called Sucha Kirtans, which are bhajans, which are sung on the disappearance of the Vaishnava. So the Sugha Goswami Sucha Kirtans are here. They were translated by, I believe, Subhag Maharaj on my behalf. They were never before in English. Sri Jiva Gosai Mora Prema Ratna Sagara Ohai Prabhu Kripa Mora Karamore Moita Pamara Jane Bara Sada Karimane Tuya Guna Gai Bhara Tare Sri Rupa Sri Sanatan Anupama Sumadhyama Ramapari Drida Yandramate. And it's like this long, 28 verses. His whole life story. O Sri Jiva Goswami, you are the son of Anupam and very devoted to Lord Ram. Oh, who is very devoted? Anupam is the younger brother, Sri Sanatan and Sri Rupa Goswami. O Jiva, you know all the scriptures and you have revealed the inner meaning of Rupa Goswami's writings. I am the most fallen and I want to sing your glories. This will keep me out of Maya's clutches. Sri Jiva Goswami is an ocean full of jewels of Krishna Prema. O Prabhu, please give me your mercy. And it goes on and on. This was written by Raghunath Das Goswami. And the 27th shloka says, Sri Jiva Karuna Sindhu Sparshitara Eka Bindhu Prema Ratna Pa Bhara Lagiya Prema Ratna Pa Bhara Lagiya. Sri Jiva Karuna Sindhu, Sri Jiva Goswami is an ocean of compassion. Sparshitara Eka Bindhu. And just by touching one drop of that ocean, Prema Ratna Pa Bhara Lagiya, I have attained the great jewel of Krishna Prema. By touching a drop from Sri Jiva's ocean of mercy, I have attained the jewel of Prema, pure love for Radha and Krishna. Das Goswami is saying. Then he concludes, Kahe Raghunatha Das Tuya Kahe Raghunatha Das Tuya Anugata Ash Rakka Mora Parachaya Diya Rakka More Parachaya Diya. Raghunath Das calls out, O Sri Jiva Goswami, my only desire is to become your follower. Please protect me and give me the shade of your feet. Lotus feet. Beautiful. So he was the one of the youngest. Raghunath Das Goswami was the youngest of the six Goswamis. The eldest of the six Goswamis was Raghunath Bhatta. Raghunath Bhatta. No, actually I forget. But in terms of how they're, like you see a picture of the six Goswamis, an accurate one, usually the junior, in terms of seniority, I don't know about age, but who is considered respectable by the other, the parampara of respect is, on the far left of any six Goswami picture, it's Raghunath Bhatta. Then it's Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Then it's Sanatan. Then it's Rupa. Then it's Jiva. Then it's Raghunath Das. Because of social position by birth, first of all, and secondly, because of, you know, maybe association. So Raghunath Das Goswami is Kayast, so he's considered lower caste. And Zamindar, his father was a Zamindar. Next above him is all Brahmins. All the five Goswamis are Brahmins by birth, except Raghunath. So Sri Jiva is, of course, being younger to Rupa and Sanatan, then he's there on his right-hand side. of my age, they're all Brahmins, and Jiva Goswami wasn't fallen, but he shows respect to his elder Rupa Goswami, of course, is also his guru, and then Rupa Goswami, his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami. And in the case of Jiva, they're both his uncles. Now, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan, although they're the leaders of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, and pictures and paintings of the Goswamis, they position themselves to the left, which means they're showing honor and respect to Gopal Bhatta, who was younger in age, obviously. I believe so, if I'm not mistaken. But he was an exalted South Indian Brahmin, a Bhatta, Bhattacharya, Gopal Bhattacharya. He was Mekitabhatta's son from Sri Rangam. He's a Sri Rangam Brahmin. And he never served the Muslims or lost his caste and all these things, which was considered for Rupa and Sanatan because they worked for the Muslim government. And then the senior to Gopal Bhatta is Raghunath Bhatta because he's senior by age. And he was a South Indian Brahmin, but he lived in Benares. He's a son of Tapana Mishra. That's an interesting point. I always got the name Raghunath Bhatta. But his father's name is Tapana Mishra. So that's the situation there. So now we've heard something about the Charitra and some little entry from the teachings. And I thought we've given classes before over the years, Sri Jiva Goswami, but I want to... I thought this time we've heard, we always like to read about his biography because it's very inspiring and always something new comes out. And we wanted to read some of his commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't remember the name of those commentaries. I think Sanatana Goswami, maybe it's called Vaishnav Toshini, but I think that's the name of Sanatana Goswami's. But his commentaries in the Bhagavatam are very nice, so I've selected a few to read, and we can read those. These are from the 11th canto of part 1, and the first one is here, on page 184. And he's talking about the... I kind of thought I should just read quotes about guru and qualifications of guru, since we're all looking for guru and new people searching for your guru. Want to know what the qualifications of guru are. So now, this one verse is 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 2. This is King Nimi meets the Navayogendras. Visrijati vridyam nayasya sakshad tarir avash abhito aghoga nasha pranaya rasanaya. Pranaya rasanaya tritangri padma, pranaya rasanaya tritangri padma, sabhavati bhagavata pradana utta. So this verse has the word visrijati ridyam nayasya sakshad, that the Lord Hari, it says darir means Hari. Hari never leaves the heart. He's always manifested in the heart of the pure devotee. So the sakshat. Sakshat means manifest. They say sakshat darshan. Direct, manifest vision. Sri Jiva Goswami takes the word sakshat in this verse to indicate that a pure devotee has realized knowledge of Krishna, having given his heart to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, who is all attractive and with six opulences, especially beauty. A pure devotee, his clean heart becomes a suitable abode for the Supreme Lord. A gentleman will only live in a clean place. He will not live in a polluted, contaminated place. Similarly, Krishna is a supreme gentleman, and therefore he will not live in a polluted heart, nor will he appear within the polluted mind of a conditioned soul. When a devotee surrenders to Krishna and becomes a lover of the Lord by direct realization of Krishna's all-attractive nature, the Lord makes his residence in the clean heart and mind of such a pure devotee. The pure devotees bind Krishna by the chains of their love. Just as Krishna binds all the conditioned souls by the chains of his illusory potency, Maya. It's called Karma Bandhana. Karma Bandhana. Or Maya. Maya Jal. It's such Aghara, Maya. The binding shackles of Maya. So that's one. Very nice. He says it. He's because he's given his heart to the Supreme, then the Lord is, he's always manifest in his heart. And there. And there's another one, another verse we can, Tika we can read. Chapter 3, verse 22. Tatra Bhagavatam Dharaman Shikshed Gurvatma Shikshed Gurvatma Dhaivata Amya Yan Nu Vritya Yais Tushyed Atmatma Dohari. Accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipable deity, disciples should learn from him the process of pure bhakti. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the soul of all souls, is inclined to give himself to his pure devotees. Therefore, disciples should learn from the spiritual master to serve the Lord without duplicity and in such a faithful and favorable way that the Supreme Lord, being satisfied, will offer himself to the faithful disciple. Sri Jiva Goswami comments, this is Jiva Goswami's commentary, the spiritual master is to be considered the Atma, or the very life of the disciple. Since real life begins when one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, because the phrase is here, it says, Guru Atma Daivata. So he's the Devata. Ishta Devata. So who's your Ishta Devata? Who's your Ishta Devata? My Guru. Some groups say too much center on the Guru is God, and they don't go much beyond that. A Guru may be God, Sakshat Hari, he's a representative of God, he's God's man, a God man, but he's meant to link everyone with God and connect everyone with the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Guru Atma Dhaivata. Guru Atma Dhaivata means he whom the spiritual master is his very life and worshipful deity. Although one may experience many seemingly wonderful or important events in a dream, one's real life begins when he wakes up. Similarly, since the spiritual master gives birth to the disciple by awakening him to spiritual life, a bona fide disciple understands that his spiritual master is the very basis of his life. The Lord's giving himself to a pure devotee indicates that such a devotee becomes immersed in the highest possible ecstasy. And this is all Jiva Goswami's commentary. In this connection, there's the following Shruti mantra. Ananda dimani bhutani jayanti. Indeed, it is from the all-blissful Supreme that all these creatures have come into being. So that's a nice point. He's saying that the Atma, because it says, the verse that translates, accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipable deity. So he says basically the same thing. That the Guru, my Atma, we usually think of Atma Paramatma. The Atma is the individual Jivatma, the living individual living entity, encased within this tabernacle of the material body. But he's saying that the Atma of the disciple is the Guru. It sounds like the gopis. The gopis, when Krishna met the gopis and told them to go back to their village, he said, we can't go, you stole our hearts. Because the word Atma is translated as heart, mind, soul, living being. So how can we go? We don't. If without the Atma, the body can't move. The body doesn't exist, it dies. So you stole our Atma. You played your flute and stole our hearts. Atmachur. So they say, you stole our hearts. I mean, then the Sanskrit says, you stole our Atmas. So when Krishna, the Paramatma, wants you to stay in the body, you stay in the body. When it's time to leave the body, Paramatma says, hey, come on, let's go. And you're gone. So Krishna, the Supreme Paramatma, Krishna played his bansuri, gun, sound of his vamshi and murli, and called all the gopis to his side, and then he said, now what are you doing? Welcome, so I'll give them, okay, you've seen everything, now go. I said, we can't go, we're like lifeless bodies. Can a body move without the Atma? You've stolen the Atma. So for the gopis, Their Atma is a supreme guru, Adi Guru Krishna. He is a supreme guru. So when you get to that platform, then Krishna can be your guru. When you become a gopi. But to become a gopi, then the representative of Krishna should become your Atma. First, the representative of Krishna becomes your Atma. The guru becomes your Atma. And then when Krishna enters your heart with Radha and all this Vishuddha Sattva energy and dances on your tongue when we chant Shuddha Nam, then Krishna himself will be the Atma of the Atma. The Atma of the Atma. The Atma of the Atma. The Paramparam Atma, Krishna. Reality, the beautiful. So here it says that you're dreaming, and the guru comes and says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Kota Nidra Jao, Pisa Chira Maya Koli. Kota Nidra Jao Maya. So the night, Kota Nidra Jao Maya. So the night is over, but Maya is, throw away Maya. Lord Gauranga has appeared now in the rising sun. Wake up, Jeevas, wake up. So Guru comes and says, Jeev Jago, what are you doing? Wasting your life in Bombay, chasing advertisements. This is not the goal of life. You're going to advertise Krishna. You're going to sell something, sell Krishna. Whatever we have, we dovetail. We fold our tail. We fold our tail into Krishna. If you can sing for Krishna, if you can advertise for Krishna, if you can design for Krishna, if you can doctor for Krishna, if you can cook for Krishna, if you can babysit for Krishna. Babysit Krishna's babies. If you have a baby, whose baby? Is it your baby? You went in the womb and made it grow day by day by day, and you gave it exactly the right amount of blood and exactly protein, everything. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. Krishna's doing everything. So every drop of your existence is Krishna's energy. And just claim ownership. It's my wife, my husband, my kid. It's his. You're his. You're his. Tavevasmi, tavevasmi, najivami tvayavina. Itivigaya radhitam nayamam charnatikam. I am hers, I am hers, I am hers. Radhitam. So, Jiva Goswami says this, that real life begins when one is initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. Because a guru gives birth to a disciple by awakening him to spiritual life, the bona fide disciple understands that the spiritual master is the very basis of his life. Because he's dead, he's asleep, he's dreaming. It's called Dvija. Initiation is called Dvija, second birth. Dvija, you can fly. In one birth, you're born from the womb of oblivion. Your first birth is the birth from the womb of oblivion, uselessness, material body, material life. That's like the bird comes out in the shell. That's the first birth of the bird popping out of the mother. Then the bird has to come out of the shell, and that's called Dvija. Dvija is the name for bird. That living entity who has two births, Dojanam. So we come out of the shell, of this material covering. It's like, it's called Jagananda. This universe is called Jagananda. Anda means egg. So it's this universal egg. So we're all in this little universal egg called Maya. This whole, it's called Maya. Maya, Jagananda is the whole firmament of Maya. It's called Jagananda. So we're all inside an eggshell called illusion. And the guru comes and breaks the shell and says, wake up, chant Hare Krishna, surrender to Guru and God. Serve the Lord, love the Lord, and return to the Lord for your eternal service, which you've somehow forgotten due to your foolishness, trapped in the darkness of the eggshell. So that's why it's called Dvija. Get out, he wakes, breaks the shell and breaks the coverings of the universe. We're covered. The universe is covered by shells, universal shells. And each shell is 10 times thicker than the other shell. And the first, there's the gross coverings. The earth layer, that's the first shell. The eggshell, the Jagannanda, the eggshell, the universe is covering the jiva. The jiva is inside an eggshell. It's like the birds inside the eggshell coming out of the mother. So we came out of Mother Durga. And we came out of Mother Durga in this Prakriti. and we're in this material body, in this material universe that's shaped like an egg, Jagananda. And then the Guru comes and he has to take us out of all the, so many eggshells we have to climb out of. We have to cross the earth layer. Then we have to cross, and then 10 times thicker than that is the water layer. And 10 times thicker than that is the fire layer. And 10 times thicker than that is the air layer. And 10 times thicker than that is the calmer ether layer. And 10 times thicker than that is man, the mind. And 10 times thicker than that is buddhi, intelligence. And 10 times thicker than that is hankar. I am God. Brahma. Then I have to go on. Om Bhur Bhuva Swa Tat Savitur Varenyam. Go on and on to the Varenyam Bhargo, that worshipful divine effulgence of the Jyoti of Prem, Srup Radha. Varenyam Bhargo. Bhargo means Bhanunandini Radha. This is Brahma Gayatri. Varenyam means that. Varenyam, interestingly enough, in Sanskrit means venerable. Varenya means worshipful. Worshipful, it can be worshipped, that worshipful effulgence of the Prem Jyoti of Radha and Krishna Yuga emanating from Vrindavan. Om Bhur Bhuva Swa. Bhur Bhuva Swa. Bhur means the mental, the sensual plane, and Bhuva means the mental plane, and Swa means the intellectual, ego plane. Om Bhur Bhuva Swa. Tat Savitur. Go to the light is Brahman, Savitur, and go beyond the Brahman. Tat Savitur Vrenyam Bhargo, that beautiful worshipful light of Bhargo, Devasya, Kamadeva Sri Krishna, that playful Lord, Devasya, Deva. Bhargo Deva means Radha and Krishna, Bhargo Deva. It's like this. That's when we chant, we meditate like this. Jiva Goswami's Tika on Brahma Gayatri. Om Bhur Bhuvah Swaha Tat Savitur. You know, they have these bhajans they sing. There's a whole group from Haridwar called the Brahma Gayatri people or something. And they're propagating Brahma Gayatri mantra everywhere, stickers, posters, everywhere, clocks, as the mantra for Kali Yuga. This is the mantra. I don't know where they got that idea, but everyone goes around chanting Om Bhur Bhuvah Swaha Tat Savitur. Very popular in North India. Sri Jiva Goswami Pada Ki Jai. This is another beautiful verse about the incarnations and descents of the Lord. This is verse number 9, chapter 4. This is a very interesting verse. Please listen. Tvam Sevatam Surakrita Bahavon Taraya Svako vilangya paramam brajatam padam te nanyasya barashi balin daratak sabhaghan datte padam tamavita yadi vigna murdni. O you, and for those who are doing seva, O sevakas, or sadakas, or sevaks, the demigods will send many disturbances. Surakrita Bahu Antaraya. Because they are afraid that you are Swaoka Vilangya Paramam, that you're going beyond, you're going to cross their own abodes and planets of the demigods. Brajatam, you're going there to that abode. So then they try to put disturbances. The demigods place many obstacles on the path of those who worship Krishna with the desire to transcend the temporary abodes of the demigods and reach your supreme spiritual planet. Those who offer the demigods their assigned shares of the sacrificial performances, Barhishi, Balin, Darata, encounter no such obstacles. But because you are the direct protector of your devotee, the devotee is able to step over the head of whatever obstacle the demigods may place before him. There's just a general commentary here because it's an interesting verse. The demigods, being proud of their material position, sometimes resent the Ananya Bhakti of the Vaishnava to Lord Krishna. And thus they try to cause the devotee to fall down. But Krishna is directly the protector of his devotees. The so-called impediments that they may throw in front of the devotee become stimuli for further spiritual advancement for a sincere devotee. Because his story is in relation to Narayan Rishi, Indra tried to send these apsaras and beautiful women to break his tapabalam. And he laughed and said, "What is this?" And created millions of ladies from his own form, which you can see here. This is a painting of Narayan Rishi. It's a twin incarnation of Lord Narayan, you see, they're renunciates. So Vairagis living with, I don't know, what they have, deer skin. I think they're wearing deer skin or something. They lived in Badrinath. They still live there, Narayan Rishi. It's actually incarnations of God. So Indra sent all these girls, and then the girls that he sent are all running. They're all on the ground here, holding their faces, saying, "Oh!" And up in the sky, they all looked in the sky. What you see in the sky? And the sky are all the beautiful girls created from the body of Narayan Rishi. When they saw those beautiful girls that were created by Narayan Rishi, they thought they were bungies and street sweepers themselves, although they were considered celestials with all beautiful forms, as you can see. But these ladies up, they all went, "Wow!" Because Kamadev came there. Kamadev, he's also a demigod, a god of lust and love, so he was sent there by Indra. "Hey, look, he's getting big, go down, shoot your arrows of lust." So Kamadev's there in the picture. You see little cherubic character with his little young boy about 14 with long hair and a little bow in his hand. He's looking and he sees all the girls are created by, came with him. Springtime came to the ashram. All the lusty celestials. He said, "What are you trying to do, man? You just created all these beautiful girls." Although there may be obstacles on the path of the sincere devotee who preaches the glories of the Lord, such obstacles increase the determination. Now, Jiva Goswami's commentary. Sri Jiva Goswami Pada ki jai. Sri Radha Damodar ki
jai.
Jai Damodar. Jai Damodar. Jai Damodar. Jiva Goswami says, in relation to this verse about demigods providing obstacles, the continuous obstacles presented by the demigods to the devotees trying to serve Krishna form a kind of ladder or stairway upon which the devotee steadily progresses back to the kingdom of God. And he quotes a verse from the 10th canto, chapter 2:33, to support this point. Tata na te madhava tavaka kvachit. Rashyanti margat tvai bada sorida. Tvayabi gupta vicharanti nirbhaya. Vinaya kani kapa mordasu prabhu. O Madhav, Supreme Personality of Godhead, husband of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. Very nice. Jiva Goswami says, what do they say in the material world? They have a common phrase, failure is a stepping stone to success. Have you ever heard this? Failure is a stepping stone to success. It sounds similar to this concept that, it's a failure. No, it's a stepping stone to success. So obstacles are coming. Oh, obstacles, I have the life flat on my back. I can't reach the top. I can't make it. I can't get to the top of attain my destiny. No, he says these obstacles are like a ladder with so many steps. And just when you put your foot on one step and you stretch up and go to another step and change. And as you change, you keep going step by step on the ladder, you climb up the ladder to the top. And the top means the kingdom of God. And the ladder is taking you out of the material world and beyond all the demigods, beyond all their planets, and beyond all their obstacles. So the obstacles themselves become the very means to get liberation. because they provide a kind of stairway or ladder to cross over all the obstacles in all the material world. Like you take a thorn, it takes a thorn to remove a thorn. You step on the thorn, you can take a sharp thorny object and remove that thorn. So the obstacles, rather than being the downfall of the devotees, they become the upfall. They become the source of his success. So failure is a pillar of success. So it's not, he doesn't fail, he actually succeeds. There's another verse here we can see in the fourth chapter, 405. These are, this is a very interesting shloka here from the Bhagavatam that actually indicates three personalities of God that are mentioned here indirectly: Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya. Generally, they cite the seventh, several verses they cite to prove the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. And there are several verses in the Bhagavatam that establish the existence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But all the verses are, it's kind of indirect or hidden, and some are more than others. There's one verse, one of the most famous verses that's usually quoted, spoken by Prahlad Maharaj and Prahlad Shiksha, seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, where they refer to Lord Chaitanya as a Channa avatar. Channa, which actually means secret, hidden, covered. It says, Channa kalo yadavavas triyogo ta satvam. This is 7938, canto 7, chapter 938. Itam nirtir yag vishideva jashavatarir lokan vibhav ayasi hamsi jagat pratipan dharmam mahapurusha. Again, this phrase, mahapurusha. Pasi yuganu vritim chanakalo yad avavas triyugota satam. Prahlad said, O Krishna, in this way you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems, and slaying the enemies of universal peace. In this way, according to the age, you protect the principles of religion. But, oh, Mahaprabhu, this is Mahapurush. Mahapurush means Mahaprabhu. Great personality. In the age of Kali, you do not assert yourself or reveal yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because your incarnation is hidden in the age of Kali. Because of that, you are known as Triyuga, or the Lord who manifests his supremacy in only three ages, in Satya, Treta, and Dwapara, Ram, Krishna, Yajnavatar, or Hamsavatar, and Satya. So that verse is there. Now this verse that's explained here in the Bhagavatam is 10.5.34 and 10.5.33 indicates Lord Chaitanya's appearance. 11th canto, chapter 5, verse 33, and 11th canto, chapter 5, verse 34. They indicate Deyam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham. This one is indicated here in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 5, verse 34. Narada Muni is teaching to Vasudeva, the father of Krishna. He's telling about his son, I guess. Tyaktva sudu sujas sarepshita raja lakshmin. Tyaktva sudu sujas. Tarmishta arya vachasa yadagad aranyam. Mayamrigam. Dayata yepshitam anvadavad vande mahapurusha te charanaravindam. O Mahapurush, vande Mahapurush, I worship your lotus feet, charanaravindam. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulences. Tyaktva sadustija sarepshita rajya lakshmi. Tyaja, dustija. It's very difficult to give up. Abandoning what's most difficult to give up. Sura Ikshita, anxiously desired by the demigods. Ipshita. The Sura Ikshita, the demigods are very anxious to get Lakshmi. Very anxious to get that great fortune and blessings, and you ran away, you gave her up. The Rajya Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune and her opulence. Dharmishta, perfectly fixed in religiousness. Dharma Ishta, Dharmishta. Arya Vachasa, according to the words of a Brahmana, who had cursed him to be deprived of all happiness and family life. Agat, like Agama, you went, Aranyam, to the forest, taking to the renounced order of life. Maya Mrigam, the conditioned soul. Maya Mrigam means deer of Maya. Mriga means deer, like Mrigari means this hunting deer. The hunter. Ari means enemy of the deer. Enemy, Mrigari, just means a hunter. Deer killer, Mrigari. Generic name, really. Maya Mriga means the dancing deer in the hands of Maya. Maya Mriga. The conditioned soul is always searching out illusory enjoyment, because there's dietia, out of sheer mercy, ipsidam he desired, avadavat, running after. Oh, Mahapurush, I worship your lotus feet, said Narad. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after even by the great demigods. What to speak of earthly beings? How many Lakshmi Narayan temples are there? How many people are worshipping Lakshmi Devi? Mahalakshmi, Mahalakshmi. And there's like these posters and 11 forms of Lakshmi Devi or something. 9 forms of Lakshmi and 9 forms of Durga. And somebody, you see there's Mahalakshmi and Rajalakshmi. And have you ever seen? They have posters of different forms of Lakshmi. Everyone wants money. Money is my God. I say. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, Dharmishta, Aryavachasa. You thus left for the forest in obedience to a Brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, and at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Sri Shamasundar. That's the translation. According to the Vaishnavacharyas, this important verse, 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 5, verse 34, is understood to describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, and Lord Ramachandra. This is the teachings. This verse appears within discussion by Karabhajana of the Yuga Avatars, and it's being repeated by Narada, who heard it before, to Vasudeva. Now, Jiva Goswami's commentary. According to this Jiva Goswami, this verse describes the incarnation of Krishna himself in his original blackish form. The words Sarepsita Rajya Lakshmin indicate Sri Mathura Sampatim. Sri Mathura Sampati. You know Sampati? It means wealth. Or the opulence of Mathura. Mathura is described in Vedic literatures as a reservoir of all opulence because of the touch of the Lord's lotus feet in that precinct, Mathura Mandala. But Krishna, although taking birth in the opulent city of Mathura, transferred himself to the forest village of Vrindavan. In this case, the word Arya Vachasa indicates the order of Lord Krishna's original parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, who expressed their fear at the threat of Kamsa, who had already killed all of Krishna's elder brothers. The word Arya Vachasa indicates that with great love, Vasudeva and Devaki requested their son Devaki Nandan, Krishna, to kindly make some arrangement to avoid Kamsa and his wrath. As a result, to obey their order, Krishna transferred himself to the forest village of Vrindavan and gave up Rajya Lakshmin, all the opulence and wealth of living in Mathura, which previously had golden streets and everything, streets paved with gold. Even one Chinese explorer, you know, Ho Chi Minh or whatever, I don't know whatever his name was, the Chinese sea explorer came here, and he describes in his biography, which was translated in the 1920s into English, about Mathura, his journey to India, He visited Mathura and he said that there's, and this biography of this Chinese explorer, he came here in 800 BC or something like that, long ago, 2,000-3,000 years ago. He visited Mathura, and that is accepted as evidence and given in a famous book written by the district collector for the British government named F.S. Gross, G-R-O-W-S-E. He was here in 1780 or 60 or so as the collector, the tax collector for the Mathura district on behalf of the British government. He's a British officer, government officer. And he wrote a diary called Mathura Memoirs. And in there he cites about, talks about the history of Mathura and Krishna's Leelas and different things. Interesting book. And he says, he quotes that translation of that China person, explorer, and that person was remarking how he said, never, he's all been all around the world and all the countries of the world at that time, Europe, etc. So I never found a place where people were so happy and so peaceful and so cooperative and so opulent. He describes a golden palace and the streets were lined with golden palaces. And didn't see any anger anywhere or any poverty or anything. He felt like he was in this heaven or the spiritual world in Mathura a couple thousand years ago. So it's a fact that Sri Mathura Sampatim, that the innovative literatures want to speak of this contemporary biography, but the ancient Vedas, Mathura is one of the oldest cities in the entire Earth planet, and it was extremely opulent. That's why Kamsa made it his capital. Bajranava made it his capital when he was ruling this area. Very, very opulent place. Now we wonder what happened. So therefore, Krishna gave that up and went to the village. And then Jiva Goswami says, this word Maya Mrigam, this is Maya means, Mrigam means deer, indicates a special exalted relationship between Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. Maya also indicates the internal potency of Krishna's Swarup Shakti, Yoga Maya. The original form of Krishna's internal potency is Srimati Radharani. Due to the inconceivable love of Srimati Radharani, Lord Krishna becomes easily controlled by her, like a deer, a pet deer controlled by the princess. In the palaces of Yore, the princesses used to keep pet deer. And Radharani also had pet deer. They had some small deer park in Barsana. And you maybe you've seen, and you can read in the writings of Rupa Goswami, Radharani used to feed her pet deer. And she has a pet deer, a spotted deer. And there's a name for that deer. I can't remember just now. But the male and female deer are part of Radha Krishna's Madhurya Leela. And they have names, Taranga and Tarangani or something like that. Ranga and Rangani. I think it's Ranga and Rangani. Ranga is the buck, the male deer, and Rangani. So sometimes, in the Govinda Lilamrita, the gopis are speaking to Krishna and say, you're Kuranga, because Ranga means play and delight. And I think the buck's name is Suranga and his wife's name is Rangani. So Rangani is Radharani's pet deer, and Suranga is Krishna's pet deer. So then when the Sakis are angry with Krishna, they say, oh, you're like your friend, Kauranga. Kauranga means bad player, dirty player. You're a dirty player. Our Surangani, our Rangani is waiting to offer you all kinds of delights, but you're with Chandravali, so you're Kauranga. You're not Suranga, you're Kauranga. So the deer come in the morning in the Shant Leela, Rangani, her pet deer, and spotted deer, brown with spots on it, looks inside the kunj with her large doe-eyed deer. Large doe eyes, and they look at Radharani and motion to her that, please, you come now, come back to Barsana. So this Mriga means deer. So Jiva Goswami, he's saying that Due to Radharani's inconceivable love of her love, Krishna easily becomes controlled by her, just like a toy animal or a toy deer, a pet deer. So Maya Mrigam in this verse, 11.5.34, refers to the Yoga Maya influence, the incredible mystic, inconceivable, enchanting, captivating influence of Srimati Radharani's Sringar Ras, her Mahabhav, just makes Krishna dance like a deer. So Maya Mrigam. The Maya is the Yoga Maya of Radharani's Prema. And the Mrigam is a pet deer. Krishna becomes like a pet deer to play for the happiness of Radharani. So Lord Krishna easily becomes controlled by Radharani. Thus Mrigam, which means animal or specifically deer, in this case does not indicate Maya Mrigam, as the verse says, but indicates Krita Mrigam, or a toy animal. Just as a beautiful young girl may play with so many dolls or stuffed animals, similarly, Krishna becomes just like a play doll in the hands of the most beautiful young girl, Srimati Radharani. According to Sri Jiva Goswami, Srimati Radharani performed innumerable types of worship to bind Krishna more and more to her, because Srimati Radharani cannot live without Krishna. So this is like some children, they get a pet animal, and the pet puppy, or whatever, and they take the puppy in the bed and everywhere. And the mother says, oh, he's dirty outside. Oh, my baby, my pet, I want to be sleep with him. So Radharani, according to Jiva Goswami, this is his holy Tirubhav Titi, he says that, because he's a Las Mandri, so he knows, Srimati Radharani performed innumerable types of worship, Aradhanam, in order to bind Krishna more and more to her, because Srimati Radharani cannot live without her Krita Mriga, without her toy deer, her pet deer, Krishna. Thus, due to Srimati Radharani's Aradhana, or worship, Krishna can never leave Vrindavan. He's bound by her. She has a little rope around him, around his heart. She has a rope tied around, a leash or a rope tied around Krishna's heart. Hey, come, come. Don't go so far. Vrindavanam Pratyajya. Hey, Suno. Listen, Suno. Kritam Riga. Suno. Vrindavana Pratyajya. Paramekam Nagachati. Don't you even think of taking one step out of Vrindavan, my dear Krita Mriga Krishna, because you're my toy, you're my pet deer, and I cannot live without you. So I will not allow you to prance and run anywhere outside. So Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He runs here and there, prancing here and there, in Vrindavan, protecting cows, playing with his friends, and engaging in countless intrigues of love with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Beautiful. Jiva Goswami Pad. Krishna Mriga, Krita Mriga, the play animal, or that toy deer, that play deer, pet deer, Suranga, or Rangani, Suranga. Krishna runs here and there in Vrindavan, protecting cows, playing with his gopa friends, and engaging in countless intrigues of love with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Thus the word anvadhavat indicates Krishna's boyish activities, his running throughout the land of Vrindavan, tightly under the control of the love of Srimati Radharani. So you may have a pet animal, or a pet deer, leash or rope, maybe 20 feet and 30 feet, and the deer jumping this way, that way, and running, and he's running this way and thinks, oh, I have so much freedom, there's nothing around my neck, and whoop, oh. So Krishna's running here and there tightly, as the owner of the pet, who is tied with a rope, he tied that rope around the neck, he's very tightly controlling that pet. He may think he's free and he's running. Oh, I'm jumping, I'm prancing, I'm standing here and there. But all the time he's tightly controlled by that rope around his neck. In the same way, Jiva Goswami Pad says that this word anvadhavat in this verse 10.5.34 indicates Krishna's boyish activities, his running throughout the transcendental land of Vrindavan, which are all tightly under the control of the love of Srimati Radharani. The Jiva Goswami Pad in his tika on this verse says the verse indicates Lord Sri Krishna and Radharani, Yuga. Because the Gaudiya Vaishnavas see Radha and Krishna in every single verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. From 111 to 12.12.12. The last chapter of the Bhagavatam to the last verse, 12th canto. Everywhere the verses are glorifying. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Premsrup of Mahabhavati Radha and Rasaraj Sri Krishna. So Jiva Goswami is our Gaudiya Vaishnavacharya bringing out this beautiful, most beautiful tika about Radha and Krishna. It's on page 406 of the BBT Bhagavatam, 11th canto, part 1. 11th canto, chapter 5, verse 34. The verse Sridhar Swami, who wrote 1,000 years ago, he says this verse indicates Ramchandra. And other acharyas indicate that it means Vishnu Chakravarti, and others say this verse indicates Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, this verse glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Mahapurush, or Ramachandra. And Lord Chaitanya showed that he was both Lord Krishna and Ramachandra and Gauranga. So Mahapurush refers to Lord Chaitanya because he's Krishna. He showed his Sadbhuj Roop several times, especially to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in his house in Puri. So this Sadbhuj form is the actual purport of this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Jiva Goswami Pad ki jai. And there's one verse from 11th canto, chapter 9, verse 31. Na yekam ekasmad gurur jnanam sustiram syat supushkalam prameitat advitiyam vai giyate bahudarshibi. Although the absolute truth is one without a second, the sages have described the absolute truth in many different ways. Therefore, one may not be able to acquire a very firm or complete knowledge from one spiritual master about the subject of the absolute truth. And then Sridhar Swami says, the statement that one requires many spiritual masters certainly needs explanation, since practically all great saintly persons of the past did not take shelter of many spiritual masters, but rather accepted one. So he goes on to say, now Jiva Goswami comments, because we want to focus on Jiva Goswami's tika. Since it is commonly understood that one is to accept a single spiritual master, why is it recommended that one learn from many so-called spiritual masters appearing in the forms of ordinary material objects? That's very interesting. Because this chapter was about the different gurus. Because this is again Nagendra's teachings, and all these different animals are given as gurus, and the material nature, gurus in nature. This is the Avadhut Brahman. He's describing 7 remaining gurus. I think he had 26 gurus or something. 7 remaining gurus, beginning with the Kurari bird. And then one other guru is called one's own body. An additional guru is one's own body. I don't know if you read 11th canto. It's required for anyone who's interested in initiation. Sometimes it's recommended. That's your call, not mine. But he talks about these gurus. So then, one of the gurus, it says here, when the person living in a temporary material body tries to construct a happy home. The result is fruitless and miserable. The snake, however, enters a home that has been built by the rat and prospers happily. The snake does not have the proclivity to build his own home, but rather lives in a suitable place constructed by other creatures. Thus he does not entangle himself in the labor of home building. So he's a snake, is a guru. That's why he once said, always be a teacher, always be a student. I don't know if you ever heard, you must have heard this phrase. If you're humble, you can always be a student. And if you're humble, you can always be a student. If you're compassionate, you can always be a teacher. So then, after all that, this verse is there about, well, the absolute truth is one without a second. The sages have described it in many different ways. So the Avadhut Brahman, he's teaching from his own example, although he maybe had a guru, one Diksha guru, whatever. Obviously, he must have received Diksha, because he's an Avadhut Brahman. So he took Brahman Diksha at the age of 11 or 10. Brahma Gayatri Vaidic Diksha, received the Brahma Gayatri. That's the basic initiation to be a duly qualified Brahman. But he accepted all these other 26 gurus of the arrow maker and the snake and the Karari bird and the pigeons and so many nature gurus. So Jiva Goswami says that why is it recommended that one learn from so many spiritual masters appearing in the form of different material objects and entities? The explanation is that one's worshipable spiritual master, which is the human being, will instruct one in many departments of knowledge by giving lessons gleaned from ordinary objects. As recommended by the Brahmana Avadhut, one can strengthen the teachings received from one's acharya and avoid transgressing the orders of the guru by observing ordinary things in nature. One should not mechanically receive the teachings of one's guru. The disciple should be thoughtful and with his own intelligence realize in practice what he has heard from his spiritual master by observing the world around him. In this sense, one may accept many gurus, though not those who preach against the knowledge received from the bona fide spiritual master. In other words, one should not hear from persons like the atheist Kapila. So this is the idea. The many gurus, for example, the guru may explain to you the one analogy, it's in the 11th canto, how different living entities lose their life because of one particular uncontrolled sense. And then he tells you that, and then you hear that example and that analogy and that of the literal teaching of the guru from the Shastra, and then you try to realize that in your own life, that that's a fact, that my eyes are taking me to destruction. My eyes are taking me to destruction because the moth, the butterfly or the moth, he becomes tantalized. He becomes tantalized by rupam. Rup moha. He becomes bewildered by the form of the dancing flames. The form of the dancing flames of the fire attract and captivate his mind and especially his eyes. And he loses all discrimination. And because of his intense desire to relish that form of the fire, he flies right into the fire and push, burns himself up. So that he perishes because of uncontrolled eyes, desire to experience rupam. Then taste the fish. He maybe have a full belly, but because of his lust and greed to eat and to taste, then he sees the worm hanging on the hook. Well, there's so much food provided in the water, smaller fish and little insects and eggs and whatnot, plants and leaves and everything down there provided by God. He falls for it. He goes to bite that hook and gets hooked and fried. He gets pulled out of the water and made into fish and chips. And that's the end of his swimming in the lake. So he had uncontrolled tongue. Vachavegam, pushing of the tongue, was uncontrolled. And then the sense of touch is the elephant. Sparsha. You must be maybe hearing this before. This is an example of gurus, some additional gurus besides your own guru. He's teaching you this, and then you try to see those teachings that you receive literally in those entities, or get the idea of the teachings seen through other personalities and experiences. Jiva Goswami, he says that. Very nice. We can read Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary also, since it's right here. He says it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tasmad Gurum Prapadyante Jignashu Shreya Uttamam. Therefore, one should approach a bona fide spiritual master if one actually desires to achieve the highest perfection in life. And chapter 10, verse 5 of the 11th canto, Krishna himself says, Mad Abhigyam Gurum Shantam Upasita Madatmakam. One must serve a bona fide spiritual master who is in full knowledge of my personality and who is non-different from me. That's the end of the verse. Vishnu Chakravarti Pad continues. There are many similar verses in Vedic literature indicating that one must take shelter of a single bona fide spiritual master. We also have the example of innumerable great saintly persons who did not accept more than one spiritual master. Thus, it is a fact that we should accept one bona fide spiritual master and receive from him the particular mantra that one is to chant. I myself certainly follow this principle. Very interesting, he's actually speaking I. I myself certainly follow this principle and worship my bona fide spiritual master, who is, I think, Radhadamodar. I myself, it's interesting. However, in worshipping one's acharya, one may take help from good and bad examples. By observing, like we have that phrase, you see many good examples of what not to do. By observing examples of good behavior, one will be strengthened in devotional service. And in seeing negative examples of behavior, one will be forewarned and avoid danger. And certainly we see a lot of that. Many good examples of what not to do. In this way, one may accept many ordinary material objects as one's spiritual masters, considering them as shiksha gurus or gurus who give important lessons for spiritual advancement. Thus, in the Lord's own words, Mad Abhigyam Gurum Shantam Upasita Madatmakam. One should approach a single bona fide spiritual master who is in full knowledge of the Lord's personality and sincerely worship him, considering him to be madatmakam, non-different from Lord Sri Krishna himself. If one receives the teachings of one's acharya, but keeps them locked up in his brain as a theoretical dogma, one will make little advancement. To develop steady, complete knowledge, one must see the teachings of one's acharya in everywhere. Thus, a Vaishnava offers all respects to anyone or anything that gives him further enlightenment in the path of worshipping his bona fide acharya, who is non-different from Lord Krishna. Very nice point. To develop steady, complete knowledge, one must see the teachings of one's acharya everywhere. As you may have heard, we often say, this reminds me of Srila Prabhupada. Have you ever heard me say this and that? His teachings, we've tried to learn and study to some extent, and we see them, it's like Prabhupada, it's like this, like that. See the teachings of one's acharya everywhere. Thus, a Vaishnava offers respects to anyone or anything that gives him further enlightenment in the path of worshipping his bona fide acharya, who is non-different from Lord Krishna.